Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Hello, everybody. How does it get better than this that we can have consciousness anywhere and everywhere? So I am super excited to include all of you and invite you to an extremely relevant conversation about projections, expectations, separations, rejections, and judgments. And since this is such a hot topic for me personally, and one that I have struggled with for years and years and years myself, I asked my dad, Gary, if he would have this conversation with me, because it's a conversation that he's been having with me for what seems like 15 lifetimes. And it's a topic that is so prevalent in the world and has been so sort of like dominant in my own life in an area that I have not had the greatest ease getting clarity with. And so I thought, what an incredible possibility to have a conversation about this and have you kind of like help us get what, how projections, expectations, separations, rejections, and judgments affect the world and what else is possible when we're not functioning from them.
Okay, sounds good. Let's do it.
So let's do it. So what are projections, expectations, separations, rejections, and judgments?
Well, it's like these are almost like two separate elements, okay? They're not really, but they go together. But it's like what it boils down to is if you have a projection or an expectation of someone, you know, if you project or expect that your mother's going to be kind all the time, then when she's not, then you have to go into the separation, the judgments and rejections of you.
Oh,
you must have done something wrong.
Oh, wow. I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I didn't realize that that's what happened. I'm glad we're having this conversation. So
good.
When you're in projection and an expectation that something or someone should behave or work out in a certain way, if that doesn't happen, then you have to go, wow, then you have to separate from you, reject you and them, and go into judgment.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the only way it really works, is because it's like you have to look at how everything you have done has been something that's created this, because, you know, you have the projection and expectation that they will do X, Y, or Z, and then they don't do it. Who's at fault?
Wow. Right. Well, so I would say I'm at fault and they're also at fault for not fulfilling my expectations and projections.
Yes. But you see, that's the place where you have to go into judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fulfill your projections or expectations, then you get to judge, which is one of the reasons most people like the judgment part.
Uh-oh. Okay. I definitely want to talk about liking judgments. And I would also like to take like several steps back to the thing about how, about projection and expectation just to begin with. Because it seems like that's the first two steps or the first two choices that then sort of catapult us or segue us into separation, rejection, and judgment.
Yeah.
So I want to admit something, and I we'll see how this goes. And I'm admitting it because I get how it limits my life and it's a crazy place. Anyways, I'll state it. So which is this? I have oftentimes struggled. Now, this is going to sound bizarre. I've oftentimes thought that projection and expectation was actually like a creative energy. It's how you created something.
Yeah, most people do. Most people have the point of view that judgment is creative as well, but it's not.
And so I've learned through like getting more conscious and a lot of assistance from you and just my own awareness that judgment actually contracts energy, leads to destruction, doesn't really work for expansion. Projection and expectation. So, because in Access we talk about that true creation is question, choice, possibility, and contribution.
Correct.
And it's taken me almost the better part of a decade to actually understand how to implement those in like real-time life as the creative cornerstones or sources, rather than judgment, expectation, and projection. So,
well, everybody else does projections and does judgments and rejections as a way to prove that they're right.
OMG. Okay. Rightness.
Yeah. You know, it's like I know a lady who projects and expects that her kids should love her and do exactly what she wants.
Right. Well, that's
good work.
Right. And we see that all too often in the world that you know, parents project onto their children a certain thing, and, you know, spouses project onto their spouses a certain thing, and it's like an endless. So let's like crack the code here. So what question can I ask, or what question can you ask, that will start to open up awareness of a different possibility?
Well, what is it I really want to create?
Okay.
What is it I really want to create with this person? You know, if I projected and expected that Dane should love me and have me as his primary relationship, how would that work?
It would create a lot of separation between you.
Yes, because I'm projecting, expecting him to do X, Y, and Z, and he's going, I don't want to.
Well, and I've noticed you've been a great gift in that since I've had you so close in my life, it's been a great gift in that I've really gotten to see firsthand how someone who doesn't do projection and expectation as a creation or source of a relationship. And sometimes it's frustrated me because I have sought for some sort of definition based on your projection or expectation of me, or something to fight against, or something to, you know, categorize you into, or away, all of that and more. And you've been really steady in not projecting and expecting, always being available, never having the answer.
Yes. But you see, it's like if you do projections and expectations and separation judgments or rejections, you have to have the goddamn answer.
Wow. So when
you have to be right.
And you have to be right. Jesus. Yeah. That's a whole new level of me having to admit to myself where I'm mostly looking to be right about stuff rather than aware about stuff.
Yeah. See, the great thing about awareness is that it opens the door to greater possibilities.
And I think personally, awareness is one of the most misunderstood, underutilized resources and phenomenon amongst people.
I would agree with that totally.
Because when we talk about awareness, it's like maybe it's a theoretical good idea out in the world. But when you really start accessing greater awareness, that's when you start to behold the phenomenon that.
Well, it's like when you actually embrace it, you stop having it as a theory and you start having it as a practice.
And that's what getting out of projection and expectation, separation, rejection, and judgment sort of leaves you with. It leaves you with, yep. Now you just have to be aware.
Yep. Not now, you just have to be aware. You get to be aware.
You get to be aware. So can you help me to see, let's if I can give a personal example, and if you could help me utilize some of this information and these tools in this particular way, which is like in my marriage, I'll use my husband as an example. You know, when we first got together, you know, you've given both of us sort of endless support and coaching and facilitation and contribution so that our marriage could actually work. And when
I gave you both massive amounts of warnings.
True. It wasn't you guys. You were definitely not the proponent of you guys are going to live happily ever after. I'm so happy for you. It was definitely like, if you keep going in this direction, you know. Be aware of this.
If you keep going in this direction, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I got to tell you what, it's like, that's the brutal honesty that you've been willing to gift that saved my life and saved my marriage. So when we first got together, you know, I was in this place of just looking for somebody to fulfill my expectations, my projections, my needs, what I thought should be the right, good, perfect, and correct relationship man, sex partner for me. And I'll admit it. And that was, you know, although I also desired to have an expansion of my universe, to have more choice, more possibility, more fun, there was also the projections and expectations intertwined in there. And you, I think for years...
Well, it's the projections and expectations you have of yourself, which is about how you have to have more of something.
Oh.
But it's the projections and expectations you have of him that require him to try and deliver it for you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, you're hitting so directly right on the spot that I can't even like maneuver beyond that. Can we take a few steps back and repeat that?
Yeah.
So it's my expectation.
When you have projections and expectations of you, I must achieve, you know, total awareness as an example.
Okay.
Okay. That's a projection and expectation of you. That's not a what can I choose here?
What can I choose here?
Yeah. We have to start functioning from what you can choose, not from what you project and expect.
Okay, and we have to put that in like flashing neon lights. What can I choose here? Not what can I project and expect? I mean, that's such a just, it's such a simple distinction, as you state it, yet it so revolutionizes the way that the majority of people function.
Well, I mean, if you start to function from no projections or expectations, am I doing a projection or expectation here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I expecting something of this person yeah. that they can't deliver?
I hate to admit it. I am like 90, I'm going to say it. I'm like 97% of the time I'm in projection and expectation.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, there's two good things about that.
Okay, hit me with it.
Number one, you'll never be disappointed in how much you can dislike people.
Wow, okay.
And number two, you'll never be disappointed in the fact that you're better than they are.
Okay, so all that is, so we destroy it and create it.
Right and wrong, good and bad, bot and bock, all nine shorts, boys, meons. See, I always look for what's the purpose of projections and expectation.
Right.
If I project and expect this person to deliver a particular thing and they don't, who's going to be upset?
Me.
Yeah, why?
I guess to be able to separate.
Yeah. But it's like, it's because they're not doing things the way you think you want it done.
So let's get now to that point a few minutes ago when you stated that people liked judgment and that was a major contributor to why people did projection and expectation.
Well, I mean, in judgment, you're taught to judge as a kid. You know, what do you think of that person? I don't think of that person.
Well, and even going so far as to you need to have the same judgments that your parents have of any particular person or situation in the world. Otherwise, yeah. You're an outcast in your family or you're not accepted or you're wrong.
Yes, I hate this person. You know, when I was married to your mother, there was this guy I knew who didn't like your mother. So he didn't invite her to his birthday party. And so she said, I hate him. I never want to see him again. And I said, well, he's invited me to this. No, you can't go. If you go, you're against me.
Right.
And the thing about projections and expectations, they determine who your enemies are and who your friends are and who you can stay with and who you can't.
Which sounds normal. I would say that that's probably what people think is normal, that they need to determine who their friends or enemies are.
Yeah.
Which, if we're going to take it into the context of consciousness, it's like, would an infinite being have a friend or an enemy?
Correct. You know, it's like, I'm not fond of snakes, okay? Don't care for them, okay? But the thing is, it's like, you know, a water moccasin showed up in my front yard the other day and a rattlesnake showed up in my backyard the other day. Not that I saw them, because when I'm around, they're never around.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they know I don't want them.
So,
and if I don't want them, then they don't show up because I have no projection or expectation that they got to treat me nice. I just have this point of view that they need to not be where I am.
Right, because that opens up this whole other sort of aspect of how we think that projection and expectation, judgment, rejection, separation is a creative force or source, like. If there's snakes around and you don't like them, most people would say, is that a projection or an expectation or a judgment?
Nope, it's an awareness.
It's an awareness.
I don't like them. You know, I don't want to play with snakes, okay?
And that choice, I don't want to play with snakes, then
yeah.
becomes a creative source in the world.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is, like, even though I don't want to play with them, like, for instance, we were in Australia, and one came in the house at night, you know, it's like this 7-foot-long snake came in the house at night and was slithering across the top, the headboard of the bed I was sleeping in.
Yes, and we have pictures to prove it.
Yes. And it was fun because, you know, thank God your husband and your son don't have any judgment about that because they came and got it.
Well, I thought it was hysterical. You messaged me first thing in the morning. Hey, does Max like snakes? And I thought, what a weird question. I was like, I don't know. Why are you asking? And you sent a picture of that huge snake coiled around your bedside lamp. And I went, ah, I see. He'll be right over.
Yes. It was very nice. You know, that he came over and he found the snake. And it's like, I mean, it's like Dane says, well, do you want to sleep in the house? Yes, I'll sleep upstairs. Close the door. Turn the air conditioning down as low as you can get it. and that'll slow you down.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know about snakes. I know that they slow down if it gets cold. I know they're not as fast or as likely to do things if they're cold. So I made him cold.
So how do we use this in our awareness of projections, expectations, separations, rejections?
Well, see, if you projected and expected that the snake was going to attack you, would you stay in the house or would you leave?
He'd leave.
If you had the point of view that you needed to have the snake subdued, what would you use? Awareness.
Air conditioning.
No judgments. No judgments, no projections, no expectations. Just what awareness do I have here?
So can we use this question of what awareness do I have here versus projection and expectation in regards to like when you expect and project that other people should do stuff or stuff you want them to do? Because that's an area that I've really struggled with. Because you and I both run business.
Well, everybody does. Everybody does. You know, it's like people, you know, you hire somebody to work for you and you expect them to do a particular job.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. And that's what's so, I'm going to say straight up, so weird about you and something I've never, it's a weird area because I often can see the benefit or the advantage of a lot of the places in which you, where you function from. When you're talking about no expectations, it's like you're talking about some fantastical creature that lives on some planet far, far away that I don't believe in and it's never going to exist.
So but when you do believe in them. You like unicorns and you like dragons.
I do. However, I don't particularly know how to achieve that place of no expectations. And that's what's so bizarre in my world.
Yes, but if you saw each of these person as a dragon or a unicorn, what would you expect of them?
You know, it's an interesting question because I would say I would have to get to know them because I don't really know how a dragon or a unicorn really behaves because I've never met one.
Yes, you have. You're married to one.
A unicorn or a dragon?
Yes.
Aww.
You know, the thing is, what you got to realize is you have this person in your life and it's like, what are they going to do? What are they going to choose?
Right.
See, it's like if you don't have projections or expectations, then you get to see what they do choose.
Okay. Right. And that's kind of amazing. Because
then you will never be disappointed.
And then you'll never be disappointed. Right. And so that actually, I have learned that from you about if you don't project or expect, like just watch what they choose. And that will inform you of sort of what is real and true for this person.
Yeah. You know, when I was married to your mother, she would get angry and get upset about things because that was her way of controlling things.
Yeah. Right.
Anger and upset, her way of controlling. And she would go into that all the time and then, you know, justify and explain how she was right and everybody else was wrong. And it's like, my point of view was, okay, so what are you projecting of this person? What are you expecting of this person? You know, if somebody is, you know, is addicted to alcohol or dope or smoking, can you project and expect them out of it?
Many controlling people on the planet would like to think so.
Correct. But my point of view is, okay, so what works for them? Why does it work for them? Which is why we got to the things we did on the addiction category.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not doing a projection and expectation that they're not supposed to be addicted. What is it that creates the addiction?
Right, which is a question, which is one of the four elements of true creation, rather than an expectation, which is not an element of creation.
No, damn it, it's not. I have another question.
Yeah.
Can you judge them, reject them, or separate from them out of there to get them out of the thing?
Well, no, I mean, you can, but you usually end up frustrated, separated, and separated from everything.
And rejected from you.
And rejected from you. Oh,
and so, your choice.
So is projection...
You lose your choice when you do separation judgments or rejections.
Okay, I can see that. And I've experienced that a lot of times. I've really experienced that because I'm then locked into reaction rather than choice.
Well, actually, the truth is that's the only thing that creates reaction as the source. And that's what, you know, the majority of the world learns is the reaction. That reaction is the way in which you create. by reaction do you create?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you create what you really want?
Well, no, I'm going to speak for myself personally. No, reaction has never created what I truly wanted. So what do you mean reaction is the source of creation?
Well, people think that, you know, I reacted this way, therefore I did, da, da, da. Therefore, this is the way things are going to turn out.
So is reaction a distractor? Is it a substitution? Is it just a misuse of energy?
It's a total misuse of energy.
Okay.
Because it doesn't actually create anything. It destroys everything that doesn't match it.
Can I ask you a question? So with projections, expectations, separations, rejections, and judgments, obviously this is like what controlling people use? Is it just for control? Well,
it's what a lot of people use for control. It's not just, but it's one of the things that they create with.
Okay, so then that's interesting because you've often poked me, and I'm going to be really brutally honest in this very public conversation. You've often poked me about, do I want a husband or do I want a slave? You know, you've often been poking me about, do you want slaves? And I've often been very offended by your question.
All women should know they want slaves.
All women should know they want slaves. Okay, so say more about that.
Well, one of the things that's very good is if you realize that if you expect a slave, then if he doesn't do exactly what you want, exactly the way you want it, then you have to project and expect him to be wrong.
Right. Well, I'm not just doing this with my husband. I'm doing this with the people I work with. I'm doing this with my family members.
I know, but we all do. Because whether it's a family member or whether it's a husband or whether it's anything else, it's a projection and expectation about what they're supposed to be and do.
Which leads to the reaction that I think is a source of creation.
Yeah. It does create. It creates an upset. It creates an intrigue. It creates a trauma and drama. It creates a place where you reject you and choose to pretend you're not something else.
Rather than having engagement with all energies, which could potentially be far more effective in achieving whatever it is I desired.
Well, I'm glad you said could be, because my point of view is would be. Mm-hmm. But for you, it's like it might be. So you'll consider the possibility of doing something different without the necessity of actually changing it.
Well, I'm changing this because it's hard. It's just straight up hurts. It does not feel good. And that's enough for me. So can you help me with this? Because I get how projection expectation leads to separation, rejection, and judgment. I see that time and time again. Yet I keep using it. So what is it that I love about it?
Did you grow up in a dramatic family?
Did I grow up in a dramatic family? Yes.
Then reaction was the source for creating the trauma and drama, the upset and intrigue. It proved you love somebody.
Oh, that is so terribly true. So shall we destroy it and create all that, please?
Right, wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, beyonds.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. I even get frustrated with my husband when he's not reacting in a way that I think he should, because I think he's like stupid because he's not reacting. God.
Yes, and your husband loves to not react in order to control you.
So we're opposite ends of the fire and ice.
Yes. He's the dragon who's breathing ice, and you're the dragon who's breathing fire.
So, okay, I grew up in a household that was a dramatic. So reaction to me feels like how I show I love. Wow. Okay, that's really changing some huge stuff in my world.
Yeah, sorry. You know, but the reality is, it's like, you know, what a gift that, you know, it's like, what if you don't have to live in reaction? I never live in reaction. I live in action. But you see, action for me is the source of living. Reaction is the source of having a life.
So what's the difference between reaction and action?
Action is the place where you are constantly in a capacity and state of change. Mm. And reaction is life, which is, see, I have a life. Look at how emotional I am. Look at how upset I am. Look at how amazing I am that I have this.
Well, it's interesting. As you mentioned that, I'm realizing that I use reaction as a way of forcing action or justifying action.
Yeah, it's force or justification, one of the two.
which is interesting.
But
yeah,
it's the, you know, the separation and the judgment and the rejection. Because if you react to someone, then you separate from them. You have to separate from the part of you that actually cares about them.
Yes.
You know, which is really not that much fun.
Well, it's so interesting.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm realizing that I do. I'm realizing that I use separation as like a form of like emotional blackmail or extortion. Like, I think that if I separate from you enough, you'll do it my way eventually. You know, it's like, if I can't break you, I'm going to break you this other way. It's
luckily you didn't have a genetic father or a genetic mother that had that point of view.
Well, I did. So everything that is, I'll destroy it. I create it.
That's where you learned it.
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
And all it's done is created a lot of like strife and hard places and spaces between me and the people in my life, the people who actually care for me and who support me.
I know, it's sad, huh?
So,
because that's what you really want to do, is do your separation judgments and rejections from them.
Well, full disclosure, apparently that has been the primary target, is to separate, not to truly create.
Well, that's because you're looking for the reaction that will give you the information about what is true.
Oof. What do you mean?
Did you have any parents that lied to you a lot?
Yeah. Yes.
So how'd you find truth? Through reaction.
Because I would say I found the truth by pushing them, like pushing until they're, until they reacted.
Yes.
OMG. Right. Okay, cool. So so that worked up till now. Now what else is possible?
Well, has it really worked, or has it only set you up to fail to find truth?
And be the receiver of a huge amount of abuse.
Yeah, and victimhood.
Which then allows me to separate and be right. Yeah. And be right.
And be right, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is so well. In this conversation, what I'm really getting is how projection, expectation, separation, rejection, and judgment are so intertwined with rightness and control, which are two of the most insidious places and spaces I see people and me personally use to destroy change.
You actually destroy your future with it.
Woza.
See, it's like the reality is like every time you choose something, you create something. Now, what is it you create? You know, what are you creating with the choice you're making? Are you creating your future, your past, or the destruction of?
Mm. All of the above, depending on the choice.
Yep. What possibility could you have that you haven't chosen?
What possibility could you have that you haven't chosen and that you've never even imagined?
Well, it's like you can't imagine it because everybody has taught you from day one. Reaction is, I mean, it's like your mother would react if she didn't get what she wanted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if she didn't get what she wanted, she would have a reaction.
Hmm.
And that reaction would make everybody get in line.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good control.
Yeah, but she learned it from her parents.
So then, what do you suggest when instead of reacting, what are some other...
What action could I take here that could create something bigger and greater?
Can you give an example of the actions that you're talking about?
Yeah. It's like, if I look around and I go, okay, so what action could I take here that's going to get this?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, then I look at it and I go, okay, is this the action I need to take or not?
That's an interesting one, because that creates that the action to me, as we talk about it and as you give that example, sort of pings into my world as action sometimes isn't immediate, whereas reaction is immediate.
Yes, and you were born in the generation, the now generation, which mm-hmm. is about I want everything I want now. So there.
Immediately. Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, you know, instant gratification is the way of life. And it's like so much of what we're experiencing right now that's failing in our world is instant gratification.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. So how is that what's failing in our world?
Well, you know, it's like with Donald Trump. He wants infant gratification. I want my wall.
I want my wall.
You know, and he just, like, he's just a petulant child about not getting his wall. He won't come up with a long-term system.
Right.
I'm not going to do this unless you do this.
Right. Well,
everything is designed to create a reaction in others to get what he wants.
Right. And I like, and I love how you've actually, you've been the one that's taught me about long-term systems, seeing the future, creating for the future. And yeah, it's so interesting to see how that topic, and the possibility of creating for the future is something that a lot of people actually don't even have as a possibility. If it isn't now, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. If it is now, it can't be.
You gave me a great question years and years ago. You probably gave it to a lot of people, but this one is really one I've used, which is, what can I choose today to create more money now and into the future?
Yeah, because most people only look at the now. Years ago, I had roommates. I've told this story 1,000 times, probably boring. But I had roommates who would go to work for 2 weeks, work really hard to get their rent so they could pay it on time. Then they take 2 weeks off, go to the beach all the time, and then they would, you know, go back to
right, and then have working. To, and then go back to work just to earn their rent, like a hamster wheel, basically.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at, okay, what choice can I make today that will create the future I'd like to be in 5, 10, yeah, 15 and, years?
Yeah, you know, it's like what, you know, it's like, and the thing is that people who have no money at this point in time, they haven't planned for a future in which they will have money.
Mm.
They only plan for enough to get the car they want or the thing they want right now.
Well, that's really interesting, because that's the one area that I have been in action, not in reaction, is with the creation of money. I knew that I needed to take action.
Yes, but you always were, even as a little kid.
Yeah.
But my guess is that was a reaction to your parents' inability to have long-term money.
Oh, definitely. I saw some of the stuff that they were choosing and I went, no way, I'm not having that in my life. And it then put me to work to create wealth with longevity.
Yep.
Which was
there's a subject for a great book if you want to write it.
Wealth for longevity. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that is an area I have. Well, it's interesting because I see so many people go into projection and expectation about the money they should have while never and going totally into reaction to the money they don't have rather than taking the action.
Or money they would like to have, but they won't take the action to get it.
So why is it so easy for me with money and not with people?
Because you like money.
Too effing true.
And money never reacts. It just comes and goes.
Oh, and it's ever giving.
Yep.
So this is a honker of a talk, you know, and we could go on and on, but I think that this bite is such a huge, huge one.
It is. Yeah, because it's the basis, and it's one of the primary basis, say, of the difference between living and having a life.
Yeah, that's the second time you've said that in this conversation. So can you say what the difference is between living and having a life?
Living is a constant state of action in which you are in a constant state of creation. Having a life is, I've done it. I've been there. I've done that. I've got that.
Yeah, and the animals are living. In fact, if they stop being in constant state of action, they die.
Yeah.
Which is sort of interesting, because if we look at a lot of our lives, you know, are people truly living or are they dying?
Yes, but if you watch people, their projections and expectations guarantee that they lose and die.
They guarantee that they lose.
Yeah.
I feel like what you're saying is so clear. However,
it is. You'll have to listen to it 10 or 12 times, but it's clear.
The projections and expectations guarantee that they lose.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, because I bet most people think that their projections and expectations are going to guarantee that they don't lose.
Yeah, but they're into winning and losing. They're not into creating.
Brilliant. And that's a brilliant place to segue into creation, which is question, choice, possibility, and contribution. So if you were going to replace all projections, expectations with question, choice, possibility, and contribution.
You could receive and have too much money. You could receive and have great relationships. You could receive and create a greater possibility. You could receive and know exactly what it is the person is going to do and have no projections or expectations of anything different.
Beautiful. And then you can also see the gifts that somebody has to offer that might not match your projection or expectation, but it might be something that they are that you don't know how to ask for already in the world.
Well, the only reason you don't know how to ask for it is because you've been doing reaction in life as a way to get change rather than realizing choice is the greatest source of change and possibility.
Oh, but choice is far too spacious and insignificant and effortless. What value is there in that?
Yes, there's no trauma and drama. What is life without trauma and drama?
What is life without trauma and drama? That is a brilliant question and a beautiful place to end. What is life without trauma and drama? How does it get better? Is there anything else you'd like to add about this?
Nope, I've said it all.
Thank you so much for being so clear, so concise, and so different in your vision of the world and the tools that you give to achieve
Thank
that
you.
Change.
You know, I'm kind of enjoying it. I've had some radio programs recently where people talked about how wise and my wisdom, and it's like, and I find it most amusing because everybody says, you're just weird. And for years, I got weird. Now I'm wise. Okay, good.
I love it. You've earned wise. I mean, and it's true. And it is so life and living, giving. I'm grateful. Thank you for helping me not destroy my life. And I hope everyone out there got some gems from this conversation. Please come and learn more about how you can have more ease, joy, and glory in your life.
Yes. With the Shannon. It's good.
With the Shannon, with the Gary, with the Access Consciousness, we would love for everybody to have more of what they truly desire and the tools to actually achieve that without making yourself crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.